I'm going to ask you this morning to strap on your seatbelts, and I'm going to not apologize if I take a few extra minutes of your time. I am excuseless before the Lord if I don't bring you due warning. Now, as I share this section, what I'm going to attempt to do is bring you some input regarding what's happening right now. I am not standing here before you as a prophet who could end up being a false prophet by saying, this date it all wraps up. I'm not doing that. You've heard me many times now say to you that I am a preparationist. My whole heart cry is that we be prepared. How many want to be prepared for no matter what happens? Some people have certain end-time eschatology, certain beliefs that might come true. I don't think anybody knows yet what exactly is going to happen in the end times except for Jesus himself and the Father. Only the Father knows that hour. But we need to be right with God and be ready. Ladies, how many of you had babies? The young ones, just keep your hands down. How many of you, no. How many of you had babies? All right. So when I use the phrase with you, I'm expecting. What does that mean to you? Come on, a few people. What does that mean? I'm expecting. It means I'm growing, right? Okay. It means I'm growing. What else?
That you're in pain.
Okay. That you're in pain.
That you're preparing.
That you're what?
Pregnant.
That you're pregnant. That you're
preparing.
Sure. What kind of things do you have to prepare for a delivery?
Room, crib,
clothing,
everything.
Sure. Okay.
Eating.
What is that? What?
Eating.
Yeah, and I'm not pregnant. No, but eating. Your eating picks up because you're eating for two or more, however many may be there. What else? Anybody else?
Preparing for the labor.
Interesting. And so the phrase, when someone looks at you and says, I'm expecting, it's not just a hope. It moves from a hope so into a no so. Because you've got, ladies, right, tangible proof that something is happening. And when that baby starts to move around, whoa, I remember my wife saying, we'd be in conversation, and all of a sudden her eyes would go, Gail, love being pregnant. After three, I said, no, that's it. No, anyway. But three, and she just loved it when the babies would move on most occasion. She didn't always love it when my little boy said, bam, take that. Okay, you know what I'm talking about, right, ladies? You know, getting kicked. All right. Expectation. What's your expectation? Pat, would you do these just one verse at a time? I want to read Romans 8, verse 19. And I'm going to use a lot of scripture this morning, but this is the first part, okay? This is the part that I want to bring due warning and information to you. Things are moving, shifting, discomfort, growth. Things don't fit like they used to, and you have cravings, and you're hungry, and things are happening. And the Bible says, for the earnest expectation of the creation, Romans 8, 19, New King James, eagerly waits, operative phrase there is, eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. There was an eagerness. Ladies, if you were looking forward to the baby being born, there was an eagerness inside. This baby's coming, and we're going to have a family. But there was something exciting going on. All right, let's go on. Out of the New American Standard. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the, say it with me please, revealing of the sons of God. What's that mean? People anointed, baptized, full of the Holy Spirit to overflowing, that are bringing the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And all creation, the Bible says, is groaning for the manifestation to see God's kingdom come forth. How many want to be a part of making that happen? Next verse, out of the NIV. The creation, say it with me, just say the whole verse with me, waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. Turn to each other, say, I'm expecting. Now turn to each other and say, oh, that explains it. No, no, don't do that. All right, let's go on. Let's go on. The Message version. The created world itself can hardly wait for what's coming next. Out of the King James. For the earnest expectation. The earnest, eager, delighted, looking forward. The powerful thing that drives you, that puts passion in your heart and soul. Expectation. Not just hope so. But I expect it. It's going to happen. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Out of the New Living. Read it with me, please. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who His children really are. Matthew 24, beginning in verses 6 and carrying on. Familiar verses, I won't even have you turn to them this morning, but write them down if you're taking notes. Matthew 24, starting in verse 6, Jesus declares that you're going to hear about wars, rumors of wars. How many see that happening right and left more rapidly than ever before? Famines, dramatic famine. Across the continent of Africa. Dramatic, huge, astronomical, desperate. Pestilences. Earthquakes. Jesus says, don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. But he identifies this as the beginning of sorrows. Labor. The whole metaphor, the whole picture there is a woman in travail. And you know what it's like, ladies, when labor begins. They're spaced apart and they get more rapid and more intense and more rapid and more intense and more rapid and more intense. But it's doing something productive. Because a birth is coming. The eager expectation. I expect it. I know it. It's not just a hope so, but it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Oh, yeah. There's an intensity in childbirth, isn't there? Turn to each other and say, well, I was intense. All right, now I want you to go to Psalm 83. I want you to turn to Psalm 83, and I'm really not going to take all morning on this part. But Psalm 83, and I want to inform you, and I want you to know about some things. And then I'm going to refer to some random notes that give us things to consider. Psalm 83, I'm reading from the New King James, beginning in verse 1. Psalm 83, beginning in verse 1. Do not keep silent, O God, and do not hold your peace, and do not be still, O God. Why? What's on the psalmist's heart? Why is he saying that? Beginning in verse 2 of Psalm 83. For behold, your enemies make a tumult. Those who hate you have lifted up their head. They have taken crafty counsel together, or crafty counsel against your people, and consulted together against your sheltered ones. They have said, verse 4, come, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be remembered no more. Verse 5. For they have consulted together with one consent. They can form a confederacy against you. Or they form a confederacy against you. One consent. Confederacy. Now watch. Verse 6. The tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites. Moab and the Hagarites. Gebal. Ammon. Amalek or Amalek. Philistia. With the inhabitants of Tyre, Assyria also has joined with them. They have helped the children of Lot. The psalmist goes on to say, deal with them, Lord. Deal with them. Going on down to verse 12, these people have said, This is what they're saying. Let us take for ourselves the pastures of God for a possession. O God, make them like the whirling dust, like chaff before the wind. And verse 17, let them be confounded and dismayed forever. Let them be put to shame and perish, that men may know that you, whose name alone is the Lord, are the Most High over the earth. All right. I want you to hang in here with me for a few minutes. Psalm 83 discusses and reveals a war that's coming against Israel. Every one of her neighbors aligned together against her. You need to know where we are in this period in history. Eschatology, how this all wraps up, that's okay. If you're prepared, you'll be ready. But we need to watch for the signs of the times. How many are aware that Egypt used to have a treaty with Israel that they would not attack them? And then all of a sudden, everybody began to proclaim it's the spring of their uprising, and there certainly is something great going to come out of this, so we'll get rid of Egyptians, President Anwar Sadat, a long time ago, but Mubarak. Okay? How many are understanding that the people that are rapidly shifting into leadership in Israel are in Egypt are no friends of Israel or of the United States? And in fact, the devil you don't know is worse than the one you do, because what's happening all around in all of these uprisings is a jihadist kind of Muslim kind of activity where they are dedicated to your slaughter and mine and the annihilation of Israel. They will not even look and say Israel exists. They will not acknowledge them having a right to exist. And God birthed the nation of Israel again after 2,000 years in 1948, and it was one of the fulfillments of end time prophecies, a nation born in a day. And the Bible declares when you put your hand against His land and against Israel, and you try to break it up, God will curse that land that does so. We have an administration in our country dedicated to dividing up the land of Israel and more negative on the land of Israel than in 60 years. Guess what's happening in America? Oh, God doesn't do that. Yeah, He does. Okay, church, now hang in there with me. Know the signs of the times. Gee, Pastor Kevin, you're being strong. I am. And I'll tell you what, if what I'm guilty of this morning is helping you and me be better prepared, I will stand before heaven and take the blow.
I'll be with you.
If I don't say anything and we just go on our random way and we don't watch for the signs of the times, we can be just like five foolish virgins who ran out of oil, did not prepare themselves, and we're not ready to be in whatever Jesus is doing. How many believe God loves you?
Amen.
How many believe God wants you with Him?
Amen.
How many believe we need to prepare?
Amen.
I got lots of thoughts this morning, you guys. We need to understand. Let me do a little experiment here. How many in this room are Christians? Okay, put your hands down. How many in this room are disciples? Fewer hands. I'm going to jump into something. Do you realize that there are only three times in the Bible, in the New Testament, where the word Christian is used? There are 240 times in the Gospels alone where the word disciple is used. Another 24 times in the book of Acts. Church, there's no difference between the word. If you are a Christian, you are a disciple. If you are not a disciple of Jesus, face the reality you're not a Christian and become one. Listen, I can't make it any gentler than that. I'm really a nice guy. Those that know me know I'm a nice guy. Most of the time. But you need to understand, the time is now to be right with God. When you give your life to Him, it's the whole deal. And it's time to do it. He loves you. Do you really think you can lead your life better than Jesus can? He's got a plan for you. Well, Pastor Kevin, I'm 75. It doesn't matter. It still matters. What are you going to do? Look at Jesus and say, well, I was 75. It didn't matter. He goes, well, I'm eternity. It matters. It matters. Where are you with the Lord? Now, you think I'm preaching it too strong? Watch this. In the Gospels, a woman was taken in adultery. Tell me, what was her punishment prescribed by the Old Testament? Death by? There's where a case of being stoned wasn't nice. Okay? I want to ask you a question, and I want to ask for an honest answer from you. When Jesus said he was not guilty, can throw the first stone, what happened to the crowd? All right. I want you to tell me, then, what did Jesus say to the woman? Say it with me. Go and sin. He didn't say, I've just got grace for you. I've just got mercy for you. Now you can go and keep on sinning. It's okay. I forgive you. Is that what he said? That's what American Christianity wants to believe the scripture says. But church, it says, go and sin no more. Deliberate, willful, heart propensity given to sin means you're not a Christian. Get saved. You heard it prophetically. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me. Say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For he sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Nice Jesus. And then nice Jesus, not so nice in the next verse. Because you're already cursed if you don't believe, is the next verse. Guys, it's not time to play games with God. He beckons you. He commands you. Surrender to him. He knows how to lead you. You know, I remember my wife is the best Christian I've ever known. Her dad got saved and her dad's parents got saved in a revival back in the early days of revival in the 20th century. And my wife's dad was like 13, 14, 16 maybe when they got saved. And they got saved, his parents, and baptized in pickle juice. And it was a full onslaught of legalism. And he was a young buck kid that wanted to go sow his oats. But his whole world changed to don't do. And he didn't understand the change, and he was bitter against God most all his life. And I met his mother years later, and she was still remarkably bitter while she gave money to every missionary you could think of at certain churches around the world. Church, what happens to your heart and life? You fall in love with Jesus, the one who loves you first, and you don't get bitter, you get better. Right? Look at each other and say, just keep getting better, okay? I love you. Now hang in here with me. Psalm 83 declares a war coming against Israel. You read the names. Let me tell you who these people are. Edom are today's Palestinians and southern Jordanians. The Ishmaelites are the Saudis. Ishmael was the father of the Arabians or Arabs. Moab are the present-day Palestinians and central Jordanians. Hagarites are today's Egyptians. Gebal are today's Hezbollah and northern Lebanese. Ammon are the Palestinians and northern Jordanians. Amalek are the Arabs of the Sinai area. Philistia are the people of modern-day Hamas of the Gaza Strip. Tyre That's the Lord calling. Just say hi to him for me. Tyre is today's Hezbollah and South Lebanese. Assyria are today's Syrians and northern Iraqis. Do you hear the names from your current map? And they are all aligned against Israel. Now this September, there's going to be a very strong push by the Palestinians to have the United Nations recognize and require Israel to make them a separate nation within the borders of Israel. And this tiny little country is having to stand against all of these people. It's a Psalm 83 war. And it is streaming quickly. Keep your eyes open and your heart ready. It's a sign of the time. The Associated Press, this is a report from August 31st. The Associated Press has announced that Israeli Navy has sent additional warships to the maritime border with Egypt following intelligence indicating a very viable terror threat. The Israeli Navy decided to boost its presence and patrols. There are rumors flying about Israel attacking Iran's nuclear power plants as a preemptive strike, lest Iran have the opportunity to come against them with a nuclear weapon. And you all know the Iranian president hates Israel. And you need to know his particular form of religion is such that he believes it is his mission to do everything he can to make his leader return to the earth and take up rule. Everything he can, meaning throw everything into war. That's his religion. Jesus warned us in Matthew 24, verse 7, that we would see wars and rumors of wars. Zechariah 12, verse 3 is a prophecy that tells us in the Scripture that Jerusalem will be the main problem. What do you hear? How many know that in every news report, liberal media and press, and in the United Nations, Israel is the most hated nation on the planet? It didn't used to be that way as we stood with Israel. But Zechariah 12:3 tells us Jerusalem will be the main problem. All the nations will be dealing with, and any nation that comes against Jerusalem will be cut in pieces. Let me quote it, Zechariah 12:3. And that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people, and that burden themselves with it, those that burden themselves with it, shall be cut in pieces, though the earth be gathered together against it. This writer tells us these thoughts. Mark your calendar to watch for September 2011. The 28th and 29th is the Feast of Trumpets. And that's the feast where the Scripture talks about His appearing, announcing His coming. I'm not saying He's coming back in September. But how many of you want to get ready in November if He's coming in September? Be ready. Get ready. Stay ready. And grow. I don't know if Jesus is coming back in September. But are you ready? Are you ready? When war takes place, you watch it, it'll be a major sign. Israeli officials have detected an inflow of SA-7 anti-aircraft missiles and rocket-propelled grenades, describing an overland supply route that opened up between eastern Libya after it fell to the rebels and the Gaza Strip. Now, everybody is all against Israel for protecting themselves. Do you know how many thousands of rockets are lobbed in over Israel in the course of a year or a month? And how many happen almost every single week? How'd you like to have your kids sleeping in bomb shelters underneath your house every night? For years. It's not good. Are they perfect? Nope. They're not. Just watch the timetable of the Lord. It points to Libya being involved. And Palestinian organizations in Gaza are preparing to carry out an attack. These are what the people who are watching and are involved are saying. 1 Thessalonians informs us when we hear for the call of peace and safety, that's the time sudden destruction will come. Psalm 83 says there's a war between Israel's neighboring nations and Israel. Zechariah 12:3, again, a prophecy that Jerusalem's their main problem. Church, I would love to give you jokes all morning long. But I believe we are on the verge of watching final history unfold. If I'm wrong, you look at me and say, you turkey, it's October. I'm not saying we're going in September. Don't hear me saying that. I'm saying be ready today, and you may see a whole lot of things unfold between now and September. I'm trying to get through the feast and order for the Feast of Trumpets so you'll know the time schedule. When I showed you the calendar last week, you had a whole lot of spring feasts around April, our time frame. I handed out the wheel of history or the wheel of their calendar. And then you have another series of feasts that unfold the end of September and into October. All right? So what is God going to do? The new leaders in Egypt hate Israel. A worldwide Islamic kingdom. This is a quote from the Sheikh Abdel Sahaito, who is involved in one of the leadership positions in Israel and wants to be their leader. And his quote is this: a worldwide Islamic kingdom is a given. Of course, we will launch his quote. I'm not saying this. This is his quote. We will launch a campaign of Islamic conquest throughout the world as soon as the Muslim and Islam control Egypt and implement the Sharia law. We will turn to the neighboring regions, Libya and Sudan to the south. They are very upset at South Sudan. How many know about South Sudan? A brand new nation, a Christian nation that loves Israel. They flag Israel's flag right next to their own. Just happened within the last 3 months. All the Muslims in the world who wish to see the Sharia implemented worldwide will join the Egyptian army in order to form Islamic battalions whose task will be to bring about the victory. This particular person who has been bringing prophetic words since 1977 admitted that he was a laughingstock to his family until the things the Lord showed him began to unfold and happen. You know, you can't always know exactly when, but you can know the what. And one of the things that the Lord has shown him, we'll see if he's right or wrong, is that there is going to be a major shaking coming very soon. And he admits he doesn't know if it's a bomb or whether it's something shaking the earth. How many know about the comet Elenin? Okay, the comet Elenin is a massive comet that is coming closer to the planet Earth than any of these others have come. And a lot of people are saying, no big deal. No big deal. It very well could be a big deal. Not that it will collide with Earth, but that the nearness of it, in terms of those kinds of miles, will produce gravitational changes, earthquakes, and floods. We just had a Category 1 hurricane in our nation that millions are still suffering from as a Category 1. Good thing it wasn't a Category 4. Someone say amen. Amen. God have mercy. But church, we need to wake up and say, okay, God, I repent on behalf of my nation. 2 Chronicles 7:14. What are you saying to me? You guys, those of you who've known me, I've been here for 10 years with you. I don't stand in the pulpit and preach politics. You know that. I love you whether you got D or R after your name in the voting booth. But more importantly, I want you to have J-E-S-U-S all across your life. But I'm concerned for the United States of America. In our country where we are headed right now, we need to pray that God will have mercy in our land and turn us around. All right? Haggai chapter 2, verse 6, if you're taking notes. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. Okay? I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. Watch the date, September 5 and 6, September 11, September 27 through 29, which parallels the same time as the Feast of Trumpets, and October 17, when the comet is closer to the planet. You guys, I'm not saying it's necessarily going to be, but I'm saying we need to watch. And now, I want to give you further thought. We've already quoted the verse, God so loved the world. And I'm not going to do a message on the feast this morning, so your roast may not burn. This is where the Lord wants us this morning. And I don't talk about end time events too much, but I am deeply burdened. You know I love people. The old phrase says you love people and hate the sin. The problem is when people won't let go of the sin, the Bible is clear there is heaven and there is hell. And if you make your choice to hold on to sin, you're saying, okay, I'll try hell. But it's not a try. It doesn't matter what's in the movies. What's in the movies is, hey, it's all karma. What goes around comes around. The light is within all of us. That's not what the Bible says. I believe the Bible is the word of truth. God so loved. The Bible says God doesn't want any person to perish. But the Bible says there is a judgment day coming when every one of us will give an account of our life before Him. You will either have the privilege of saying, thank God I'm under the blood of Jesus. Or you'll say, I should have turned sooner. Let it be you're under the blood of Jesus. Okay? All right. The Bible declares, as it was in the days of Noah, and the Bible declares, remember PK's message, as it was in the days of Lot. Remember? How many know what was happening in the days of Lot? How many have ever heard of Sodom and Gomorrah? All right. There's no degree to sin. It doesn't matter. Fornicators, thieves, liars, covetous. You go to the scripture, even, yes, Pastor Kevin, even in the New Testament, the book of Revelation, the kingdom of God will not have that type of thing in it. But one of the sins that frankly is trying to shut me up as a pastor is the homosexual agenda. I love, you know, some of the people I've enjoyed the most over the years that I've known have been homosexuals. Some of them are delightful people, but they're in sin according to the scriptures. A fornicator, a heterosexual fornicator, adulterer, that is sin. And that person needs to repent. But I cannot shy away from saying the Bible also clearly declares homosexuality is sin. Marriage is between a man and a woman. Thank God. That's what the Bible says. Okay, Pastor Kevin, you're narrow. No, I love you. But that's what the Bible says. I told you a story before about some people who wrote me a letter early, right after I planted the church. I am a transgender person, cross-dressing person, and I want to know, can I come to your service? I just, you know, I went, let me take a day or two. It was a letter. But I really prayed about how do I respond lovingly to this person? Because God loves them. And I wrote back. I said, of course you can come to our service. Now, if you want to act up, act out, be militant, take over the service, no, you're not welcome at our service. But if you want to come and listen to the message and come into the service, you would be welcome to attend. And there's no degree to sin, and God loves you and I love you, but I do need to tell you what you're not asking me. Yes, I believe homosexuality in this lifestyle is sin. I'll be in prayer for you. Set it off. A couple of days later, I got one of the sweetest letters I've ever received. As this person said, you need to know I will not be attending your service because I don't agree with you. But also, please know, that is the nicest letter I've ever received from any Christian I've ever dealt with. The heart of God breaks over people who are bound in sin. Listen, guys, some of our own relatives haven't given their lives to the Lord. If things are wrapping up, don't we all want them to give their lives to Jesus? This isn't designed to make us fearful. It's designed to put a propensity or a passion, the eager expectation. It's coming, it's coming. Are you ready? Our little evangelist, Charlotte, she's doing everything she can to get everybody saved. Preach it! And we're surrounded by people who don't yet know Him. God have mercy in our land. But the problem is, as it was in the days of Lot, Sodom and Gomorrah, the homosexual agenda is trying to shut me up and say, right now I'm preaching hate crimes. And if it's a hate crime, then I can be put in jail for standing and simply declaring what the Bible says. Listen, if you as a Christian hate that person in that sin, hatred is not of God. That is not the Spirit of the Lord. But we try to share the truth so people can be free. If I don't tell you the truth, how can I help you? Some people say, well, I don't need it. I don't feel guilty. The reason you don't feel guilty is because we've gone so far down the Romans road that you've deadened your spirit and your conscience is dead and seared, the Bible says, so you can't hear. So we need to pray, God, move by your Spirit so hearts and ears can hear. Listen, guys, we keep praying for revival. How many want to live in revival where people are coming in and getting saved and filled with the Spirit and falling in love with Jesus? When I fell in love with Jesus, hot tears ran down my face and I said, oh, thank God, I may not have been a bank robber, but the sin's gone. Yeah. I'm right with God. Amen. How many love being right with God? But it's the agenda. Just about every TV show, used to be a very rare exception, just about every TV show, one of the main characters, or even straight out homosexual affairs, are unfolding, if you're watching them, in front of your eyes. Just about every movie. Even commercials. But the Bible says, likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But about the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Wait a minute, Pastor Kev. That's all Old Testament. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. What happened when Lot had angels come to visit him? What happened? The entire city full of homosexuals who wanted to sexually abuse the angels surrounded his house and demanded he sent them to him. And people look at you and they go, oh, we're not like that. Hey, listen, how many are aware there's a huge movement right now to get child pornography as acceptable? Pedophiles are just fine. It's no longer sin. If I don't call it sin, there's no guilt to it. I sat across from a man counseling him one time, and he looked at me and said, don't call it sin. Stop saying it's sin. Just say, I'm making a mistake. Well, you are, but it's sin. Because right diagnosis leads to right solution. In the medical practice, you can spend thousands upon thousands upon thousands looking for the right diagnosis so you can get the right medication. It's no difference with our soul. Jesus says, sin? Got an answer? The Savior. Sin, if you want to get rid of it, leads you to a Savior who died for your sins. You don't have to die for that sin. You can be washed clean. You can get new life. God have mercy on our land.
Amen.
By the way, lest homosexuals think that I'm being intolerant, just wait if they live in a land with Sharia law. Be healed instead. The heart of hearts. Be delivered. Be healed. They want you to believe how bad Israel is. But, guys, that's not the only thing. How many know we are plummeting into economic chaos? Do you know that in Greece right now, a 2-year bond, because they don't have any faith that Greece will be able to pay its bills. You're all aware of what's happening in Greece. A 2-year bond, 40%. Nobody's buying them. So they put the incentive up because they don't believe they're going to follow through on it. Most of the world's financial panics in history have happened in the fall. 1929, 1987, 2008. Europe is literally embroiled in economic chaos. Less economic activity. Remember, I'm going to do my part to help my nation. Have to throw a joke in every now and then, you know, still all breathing. Less economic activity means less revenue for governments who want to go out and just quickly go into further debt. We have put such a wicked and sinful debt on the back of our children and grandchildren. It is a horrible, horrible thing. And global financial markets are paralyzed by fear. Banks around the world have already announced 60,000 layoffs coming and thousands more. Credit markets are drying up. The U.S. Consumer Confidence Index fell from 59.2% in July in 1 month to 44.5% in 1 month. That's the lowest reading since the last recession. The University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Index has fallen by 20 points in the last 3 months. It's now the lowest that it's been in 30 years. According to Bloomberg, since World War II, almost every time that the year-over-year change in real gross domestic product, GDP, has fallen below 2%, the U.S. economy has fallen into recession. Since 1948, since every time the four-quarter change has fallen below 2%, the economy has entered a recession. Did you hear the other day when the jobs report came out? Not one job added in the last month in August. Go, wait. Guys, I'm here to tell you, we need each other more than ever. You're going to see things unfold. You know, there are conspiracies, there are things right and left. Will you do me a favor? Let's not walk in fear. Let's encourage each other in the Lord. Let's be fearful lest any of us fall short of walking with the Lord. Let's keep our lamps full of oil. Let's remember that Jesus loves you, and there are people who need Him. Let's do everything we can to stand between them and a Christless eternity. If a rapture comes, how many want to go? If a rapture doesn't come, how many want to be prepared to walk with God through no matter what happens? Your Christianity isn't based on whether or not you believe in a rapture. Your Christianity is based on whether or not you're really His disciple and you've received Him and surrendered to Him and you're wearing His harness and we're all saying, okay, Lord, I'll go and sin no more. But if I have problems, I'm in a family of people who love me and can help me. And let's run after Jesus together. I take a risk this morning that some of you think I'm really an idiot. But I would far rather stand before God having taken the risk than not. We have, if September is the date, and I'm not saying that, and neither is this person. If that's the case, guys, we've got 4 weeks. And I'm not trying to say, the theater's burning, the theater's burning. I'm trying to say, let's be right with God. Then, we're going to be able to sing our songs forever. Songs like you sang. Songs like the guy with cowboy boots sings. I mean Pete. I love Jesus more today than I've ever loved him in my life. And I have been at this thing for a little while. And I've made a lot of mistakes in my life. But I am so grateful to be covered by the precious blood of the Lamb of God. The Passover Lamb, as we spoke about last week. And regardless of what happens, if something happened to me today, I want to be able to see you someday and me someday standing before the throne of God saying, oh, thank God we paid attention to Jesus. Amen. Thank God we said, Lord, walking with you is more important than people who think I'm crazy. More important than being afraid of people who think declaring the word of God is a hate crime. More important than what the world thinks, Jesus is what you think. And I pray to God that we are right and ready.